How many people have your Bible this morning? If you have your Bible, stand up and raise it above your head. Let me ask you something while you're raising it above your head. Do you believe that this book is God's Word and has the authority of God's Word? Yes. Do you trust it? Yes. Do you trust it to give you the information? Yes. Do you trust it fully or just some parts of it? No. You fully trust it. All right, you may be seated. Two places I want you to turn today. First is the book of 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 17, that's Old Testament. Next place is James chapter 1, New Testament. 1 Kings chapter 17, James chapter 1. When you find your place, say, I have it. I want to talk to you this morning about real trust. How many people know what real trust is? If you know what real trust is, raise your hand. And we do. We hear that word and we assume real trust. We know what it is. But in looking at real trust, not trust, but real trust, I find that we really are vague in a lot of areas of what real trust is. And so today I hope that the Bible can let us explore this thing. I think that it's needy. I think that all of us need this. It's a needy subject. We're in a position, if you're in here as a Christian, to where your trust will be tested. If you're not a Christian, you're listening today, the first thing that God requires you to do is trust Him for your salvation. Trust is such a big deal that I see that, especially in these past months, it's been right at the front of my mind on an everyday basis. It's something that that I noticed in my life years and years ago, but I had the opportunity to talk to a lot of people when they're in the midst of dilemma, but they're in the midst of maybe a disappointing news. Maybe it's a hardship in their life. Maybe it's something unexpected. And what you see is a peace with those that trust, or a lack of peace with those that don't trust. Trust is a big word, and the Bible speaks of it a lot, but it gives us so many different examples. And so I want us to see the significance of what real trust is, and I want us to understand that trust goes both ways. How many people think you're supposed to trust God? Do we ever consider if God trusts us? You know, trust goes both ways. It does in every relationship. So I want to start this morning by asking you this question. Do you trust the Lord? If you trust the Lord and you know you trust the Lord, at this time you need to say amen. Amen. Now let me ask you this question. Does the Lord trust you? It's a lot quieter when we ask that question. So you're saying in this relationship that we have with the Lord, we know and we can say we trust the Lord. Well, let me tell you something. If you really trust the Lord, you will know that the Lord trusts you. Those two go hand in hand. But if you don't trust the Lord, He can't trust you. Now, I don't want you to be able to run the whole sermon in your mind before I preach it, because I want to go back in time to a place in my life and start with an example. I gave you a situation the last time that I preached that happened in my life, a dilemma, receiving unexpected news that me and Angie didn't want to hear, news about a child that was going to be born, and here's what was going to happen, and all these things, and you remember that, right? And so at that time, I learned that if you trust in the Lord and what He said is right, then He will never let you down. That even in the midst of that dilemma, you can have a peace about it. And I remember being in the midst of that dilemma when God gave us peace, right? There was laughter and joy that came with that peace, no matter what the outcome was going to be. So I'm trying to tell you that trust lets you have joy and peace no matter what the outcome is going to be. And as a matter of fact, we had a hard time just with people bringing us down, that wanted to bring back up what could happen when we were trying to trust. And you know, sometimes people around you that don't trust will hurt your trust. And that's well and good. That was that many years ago. But then there was something else that happened in my life. I know that God had called me to preach. He called me to pastor. He wanted me to minister people. And that calling came, and I turned my back on that calling. And I left fellowship with God. And I went my own way, trusting in my own way, because my way was the way that I had dreams and I had big plans for my life. And so I left His way and went my way. And I was miserable. I had no joy in my life. I had no peace. No matter what good momentarily came, I couldn't enjoy it for long. It was only at best momentary peace. I was running from the call of God. I had no peace. God couldn't trust me because I didn't trust God that He could give me the life He told me that He could give me, right? And I can remember as I was humbled in my life and I crawled back to God, and God began to give me an opportunity to teach and to preach, knowing I was messed up and knowing, as Carrie sang this morning, I was dirty. I was dirty and I knew He cleaned me. But do you know that as I began to preach and as I began to look in His Word, I could think back about that time that I trusted Him. And man, I trusted Him. But do you know that I was preaching one day at another church, and I had this sermon on trust. And I was preaching this sermon on trust, and about 10, 15 minutes into this sermon, it was as if God was preaching to me louder than I was preaching to somebody else. And His message was, "You hypocrite. You're teaching, you're preaching that they need to trust, and you don't trust me." Excuse me. "I called you to me. I told you this is what you needed to do, but you don't trust me." So this is running through my mind as I'm preaching, and let me give you the background. Raised in a great family. We were a rural family. We didn't have an excess amount of things. And I was determined that I wanted an excess amount of things. And the way to do that is to have financial peace through your own hard work and goals, right? Wrong. And I was determined at this point in time, God had blessed me with a business that had financially blessed me. So I took His blessing of that, and because I took His blessing with that, it was keeping me from trusting Him. What do you mean? Do you realize I knew if I took a step of faith, I was going to have to give up that place of security that I trusted in the most. And I could trust God with a lot of things, but the one thing I didn't trust Him with was my money. And God was convicting me. "You say you trust me. You're preaching to trust me." Listen, I hung my head. I walked out. I couldn't even look anybody in the eye when I was shaking hands as people were going out. He convicted me. He got all over me. Shortly after that, I realized, God, I've got to go all in and trust you. You see, there was an area in my life that I didn't trust Him completely. I didn't have real trust. And there's areas in our life that we don't have real trust. When that real trust is not there, there's going to be a presence of real fear. There's going to be a presence of worry. There's going to be a lack of joy. There's going to be a lack of peace. I want to talk to you about real trust. And I can't think of a better way. And by the way, since I really trusted God in that, understand that I've never went a day hungry, nor did my children. Had a roof over my head and shoes on my feet. I've experienced the peace of God even in hardships. And I can't tell you that I've been perfect every day, but I learned to trust Him. And I've learned to be even blindly trusting, especially when I can't figure it out. So today, I want to tell you a story about trust that happened in the Old Testament, and I hope that it will let you be able to see if you really trust God and if God can really trust you. So 1 Kings chapter 17. We have a story here. How many people have heard of the prophet Elijah? Prophet Elijah spoke on behalf of God. That's what a prophet did. He spoke on behalf of God. During the time of Elijah, when he came on the scriptures in chapter 17, Elijah was sent to speak to King Ahab. The Bible said that King Ahab was wicked than all the kings put together. He was sent to King Ahab because Israel had turned their back on God. Ahab had turned his back on God. They were worshiping every other thing in the world. They were trying to do things their way when God said, you must do things my way. And God said, I'm going to send Elijah, and Elijah is going to throw a curse on you. And his curse is, it's not going to rain again until I say so. Understand, Elijah was speaking for God. So understand this. Elijah was sent by God to speak to Ahab. And after you tell somebody that the kingdom is not going to have any rain, there's going to be a drought, that means famine, that means the storehouses drop, that means the animals are dying. So the person that brings that, the messenger, he's going to be in danger. So God told Elijah after he gave this message, I want you to go and I want you to hide down here in this certain place. So read verse, or chapter 17. I want to read verses 1 through 4 just to begin with. It says, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said to Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook that I have commanded, and the ravens to feed thee there. So hold on, stop a second. Now it's becoming a little bit far-fetched. It's becoming a little unbelievable. Elijah, I'm going to give you this word. You're speaking on behalf of me. Do you trust me, Elijah? Yes, I trust you, Lord. I'm going to go and speak before the king, the guy that can chop my head off. And I'm going to tell him what you said. I'll go. And the Lord said, after this, I want you to go and you're going to be fine. I want you to go down by this creek. I want you to get your water out of the creek. And by the way, Elijah, I'm going to send the ravens. I'm going to have birds bring you meat and bread in to feed you. Now, how many people are seeing that on an everyday basis? Sounds unbelievable, doesn't it? There would have had to been a lot of trust for Elijah just to carry out God's plan, right? Listen to what he does. Verse 5, so he went. Beautiful words, right? So he went, and he did according to the word of the Lord. And he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan, and the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. Did it work out the way God said it would work out? Was Elijah fed? Twice a day. He trusted God. God did his part. So God could trust Elijah at this point, right? Look at verse 7. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. So first, get this, God said, I want you to trust me and depend on this plan I've got for birds to bring you food. It takes a lot of trust. And then the brook dried up. So at which point do you panic? Do you panic when the brook dries up? Do you panic before that when God says, okay, the plan is I'm going to miraculously let food appear in front of you. The birds are going to bring it. Do you panic at that point? You'll be able to gauge your trust in God, right? But it gets even deeper because when the brook dried up, then God said, the word of the Lord came to him saying, verse 8, arise and get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there because I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Lo and behold, God tells Elijah, hey, Elijah, big prophet of mine. First, I had birds taking care of you. Now, the widows are somebody that we're supposed to take care of. Now, I want you to go, and you're going to have to depend on my sustenance. I'm going to sustain you through a widow woman. At what point does he panic? Well, he doesn't. He goes to Zarephath. Does Elijah trust? Yes. Putting his life in God's hands. So he goes. It says, verse 10, so he arose and he went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow woman was gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. So, hey, listen, as soon as he gets to town, he sees the widow. She's there gathering sticks. This is the one. God led him to her. She's gathering sticks. And so he tries it out. And he says, hey, Miss Widow Lady, would you please get me some water? Because water's the first deal. You say, why did he ask for water first? He just traveled all the way there. Do the geography sometimes. The man was thirsty. Let's see. Let's test God in the trust. Hey, can you bring me some water? So she goes to get the water, and he stops her in the middle, and he's like, listen, I want to know if I can really trust her, so listen to the next comment. And as she was going, verse 11, to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. This would be the real test, right? Would be the real trust test. Verse 12, and she said, as the Lord thy God liveth. That means, I'm being serious here, Mr. Prophet. And she believed. She quoted. She said, as the Lord thy God liveth. Did she know that he was a man of God? As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake. That means she didn't have any bread. She says, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. That's a jar. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son that we may eat it and die. He had to depend on the birds, but he trusted. Trust test. He had to depend on this new thing God had where he said, I want this little widow lady to take care of you. Trust test. Did he still go? Yes. But what about when the bottom falls out of the plan and the widow says, hey, I need to let you in on something. I'm gathering these sticks because not only do I not have bread, I've got a handful of flour in the barrel and just enough oil if I turn it up and let it drip out that I can make one cake of bread. And so that you know, I know it's just a bad time. It's just bad timing. I'm making that cake of bread so that me and my son can eat our last meal and die. And I'm sorry you stepped in my life in the middle of this tragedy, but Mr. Elijah, I don't have enough to do anything but just to have my last meal. At what point do you panic in this trust test? And Elijah says these two words to her. You see, Elijah, he knows the power he came with. Listen to the two words Elijah says. Verse 13, fear not. How many people know that there is no fear in real trust? I want you to tell the person beside of you so that they know. There's no fear in real trust. Not real trust. No fear in real trust. You see, we think we know what trust is, and we're quick to say, we trust in the Lord. But listen, if you're in fear of something, if you're worrying, if you're trying to make things work out, you're taking it with you, and you've asked the Lord, but you're not trust. That's not real trust. Real trust is saying, I'll go, and some way the birds will feed me. Real trust is saying, God, if you let a widow take care of me, then I'll let her. Real trust is saying to the widow, even the other person that's in the situation, don't fear. Why? God sent me. God's with me. Listen. He said unto her, fear not. Go and do as thou hast said. Go make your cake for you and your son. Go do it. But first, before you make yours, make me thereof a little cake. And bring it to me. And then after you make mine, make for thee and for thy son. Now get this story. Elijah knew he could trust God. What did he tell her? Give me those two words. Fear not, right? But then Elijah gives her a trust test. And this trust test was, hey, I know you've got it in there. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to trust the one and only true living God. I want you to go and make that cake for you, but before you do it, make one for me. You see, if she makes one for him, she can't make one for them. He says, go to that flour, do what you were going to do, but first, trust. First, trust. If you're that parent and you knew this was the sustenance that your child needed, and it was all you had. You've looked in that barrel. You've turned it up on the corner. You've shaken it down to the corner. You've turned that jar up, and you know that, listen, it's all that I can do to get drips of oil out to do it. I'm down to that point. This is my child's last meal. Do you trust God enough with yourself and with your child to say, God, I'll do what you want me to do first? Do you? That's real trust, isn't it? Well, the story goes on. It's beautiful. He says, if you do this, verse 14, for thus say the Lord God of Israel. He's saying, I'm speaking on behalf of God. The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail. You know what that means? You're never going to have an empty barrel, and you're always going to have enough oil to make a cake of bread. If you trust, she had to make him one first, right? And she went and did according, verse 15, to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not. That means it never ran out. Neither did the cruse of oil ever fail. According to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. You say, what's the significance of this story? There are a lot of opportunities for everybody to fail in this story, in this trust test. Even us. Imagine if you were Elijah and you passed the first couple of one of those tests. And then you got to this widow lady that was supposed to sustain you, and she gave you this story. Listen, Mr. Prophet, I know you came on behalf of God, but you came at a bad time. I have nothing. I have enough for me and my son to make a meal. I'm gathering these sticks. At that time, what would we say? I'm sorry. Listen, I understand your plight. I'm sorry for even asking. I mean, why didn't Elijah show that compassion and say, hey, listen, lady, I must have the wrong widow. What would we have done? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to ask you. No, he trusted God even through what his mind would tell him to do. She didn't know she would have it, but he did, because he trusted at that point. But when she went and did that, the Bible tells us that her barrel never ran out. What does that mean? That means that every day she went to that barrel, every day when she scooped in with her hand to get enough in the bottom of that barrel, because you had to get the corners, there was enough to make a cake. And when she turned that jar up and the last drip came out on one day, and she turned it up the next day, then enough drips came out the next day, it never quit pouring out of there. Was it ever full? No. Was the barrel ever full? No. But he gave them enough every day that if they went in there trusting, that he supplied their need. And so, this story of trust, this trust test, why is it given to us? It's given to us because we fail at this test all the time. And we say so many times that we trust the Lord. I was preaching to people, telling them to trust the Lord. But I didn't really trust. It wasn't real trust. It was trust as long as it basically covered my plan. But I really needed to be let in on what God was going to do so that I could be all in. I mean, if I'm going to trust the Lord, I need for him to give me a hint, right? How many people want a hint? Yeah. God, I can't see what you're doing. If I could just see what you're doing, I could go along with it. She never could see that barrel. She was going to that barrel for that last time that day. This woman wasn't happy gathering sticks. She was gathering sticks because her and her son were going to die. There was famine in the land. There hadn't been any rain. There hadn't been any corn. There hadn't been any wheat. So there was no flour. There was no oil. Everybody was on rations. It was over for her. It was over. She wasn't whistling. She was out there gathering sticks. And he's the one that saw her. And God said, she's the one. But I can tell you something. It's not really the way that I would have went about it. You see, I can see myself back in a time of life when I would have been praying for the meal barrel to be filled up, but I would have wanted it at least a quarter or half. Can you fill my barrel up, God? Fill it up. Not just a little bit. Fill it up, please. God, I want my children. I want my children to know that I can take care of them. Please fill it up. Now, it's not a meal barrel anymore. It's a bank account. It's a grocery cart. It's a place to live. It's a good report from the doctor. God, just heal it. Do it. But God said, no. You're going to get enough every day to trust me for the next day. And guess what that kept her doing? It kept her trusting. Now, you're better to have little and have real trust than you are to have an abundance and have no trust. Because in the abundance, guess who you'll start trusting? Yourself. And so God did this blessing on her by giving her enough to see. And so it was a trust test that she passed, a trust test that Elijah passed. But oh me, do we pass it? You see, Jesus even taught us, hey, pray this way. Father, give me this day my daily bread. Give me daily bread. Why? We're not good when we don't have to trust. So it dawned on me, I'm sitting here and I know I told you before, I have the opportunity to walk through a lot of dilemmas with people. You said the opportunity, yes sir, yes ma'am. I have the blessing to be with somebody if tragedy happens or disappointment happens or here's this bad news. And then I've had the privilege to experience a trust test in my life. Oh, I wasn't praising God about them when they were happening. You don't either. They're not what you want. But I'm here to share it with you today that there's something in common each time. You see, someone will say, this has happened in my life and it was unexpected, or I heard this from the doctor and I don't know what I'm going to do, or this is happening in this relationship, or I've got this change at work and this is going to mess everything up, or this and I didn't get into this school and this is what I want to do, or I'm not going to have the money to do this. And so there's a state of panic, there's a state of worry, there's a state of stress, there's a state of fear. And recently I had the opportunity with this young man, and he had heard some news and he couldn't figure it out. And I asked him, I said, do you believe in God? He said, man, I believe in God. I believe in God almost to the point to where, listen, I'll be honest, I was upset at God because I knew he could have made this not happen. And we get like that, right? That's somebody that really believes in God. So it wasn't a picture of unbelief. And then he said, I'm not even afraid of what's going to happen. I would be willing to do it if God would just let me in on it. Let me know. And I'd been working on this sermon, so, you know, it was one of them. And I said, young man, do you trust the Lord? Do you trust the Lord? He said, yeah, I trust the Lord. I said, do you trust your parents? He said, yeah, I trust my parents. How much have you worried today about if your parents are going to take care of you? How much have you worried today that they're not going to provide a place for you to sleep? How much have you worried today about the food that you know that they're going to prepare for you? Well, I haven't even thought about it. Haven't even given a second thought. How much have you worried today that they would make a decision that wouldn't be good for you? I haven't even had a thought about it. You know why? Because you really trust your parents and you don't really trust the Lord. And that was me. I thought I really trusted. Real trust has no fear. Real trust is total dependence. Real trust is what they had, right? But do you know that God determines your real trust by testing you? Trust tests. Why would he give us a trust test? Because faith is a product of trust. You see, we talk about faith and we would be quick to say that, hey, we really have faith in God, but true faith in God is based not only on our belief, it's based on our trust in that belief. Now, understand what I'm saying here. If you go back to the definition trust, and I'll take Webster's word for it on this, trust, he begins by saying, is confidence in a person or a thing because of the qualities that one perceives or seems to perceive in him or it. That applies to that child-parent relationship, right? Confidence. Because there's confidence, there's no fear. Because there's confidence, you're not worrying, right? He goes on to say, acceptance of something as true or reliable without being able to verify it. Boy, that sounds like faith, right? The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of what? That sounds like faith. Do you know that faith and trust are tied together? You can't have faith in God if you don't trust God. God said in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And we think that means you got to believe in God. Without believing in God, it's impossible to please Him. Hold on a second. He was speaking here to those that did believe. He was saying, if you look at all the examples, it starts with Hebrews 11, which is the roll call of those who were faithful to God. Go down that roll call. All of those people had at some point in time in their life had to really step out and trust God to do the unexplainable. So the trust part of faith is what He wants us to have in order for us to please Him. You see, when we become a child of God, God tells us He'll never leave us, He'll never forsake us. He wants us to trust in His ability, His power, His strength, His love for us to sustain us. Now, if we take it back and put it on a personal level, then I could say, well, listen, I can understand sometimes. Maybe one of my children go through this thing in their mind and they think to themselves, they get a little insecure in life and they come up and they say, hey, Dad, listen, just wondering, are y'all buying groceries this week? Yeah, we're buying groceries. I understand. I mean, just had this thought. Hey, Dad, is there going to be a place that, I mean, do I get to keep coming to this house and sleep? We're going to have a place to sleep? Yes. Thanks, Dad, thanks. What about if I'm sick? Will you take care of me? Will you assure me that you'll take care of me? You just won't let me waste away? Of course I will. I understand you're just going through this insecure time. Thank you, Dad. Thank you. But if that child continually sits in that room and worries that I want and keeps on asking and keeps on worrying, that child doesn't trust me. And if that child doesn't trust me and it's not there in the relationship, I can't really trust that child to represent our relationship, because that child's not going to go out of my house glorifying me. Now, you know I'm not talking about just my house, don't you? And in my relationship with God, in your relationship with God, you have an opportunity to trust Him. You'll go through trust tests. It may be something that is situational. It may be relationship related. It may be financial. It may be medical. It may be something that has to do with your job, your career. But you'll have a chance to trust Him. It will be a trust test. And if you worry your way through it, you didn't trust Him. It wasn't real trust. You say, well, I've trusted God. I believe that Jesus Christ died for me. Yes, there's an initial trust that everybody has to even have a relationship with God. You know, every relationship is built on trust. Take trust out of a relationship, you don't have a good relationship. If I don't trust my wife, our relationship isn't good. If she doesn't trust me, our relationship isn't good. If one of us doesn't trust the other one, but the other one does, our relationship isn't good. We both, she has to trust me and I have to trust her, right? It's the same way with God. We always say, God, I trust He can do it. Well, can God trust you? Are you going out of there representing that you're faithful to God? Understand, so many Christians get in this point of life to where they're in a relationship with God and they will be quick to say, I trusted in Jesus as my Savior. And you're representing God. I'm His child. I believe that God is who He says He is. My belief is strong in Him. I believe that He's the only one that can forgive my sins. And I believe that no matter how dirty I am, Jesus died on the cross to clean me. I believe that. Then that's great. You have trusted in your belief in Him for salvation. But do you realize, after that initial trust, He wants you to have day-to-day trust? There's a lot of people that came to God through initial trust, but then they took over and only trust themselves. I'm one of them. Can I get a witness? Anybody else in the room? We're guilty of that, right? That's why we have this example here. God, if I can figure it out. But there's not that calm peace that we have with these children up here this morning. How many people worried about lunch today? How many children? No child worried about lunch today. Don't worry about it. Why? It's coming. Somebody's got me. That's why, as Christians sometimes, we know Father God's going to take care of us. But we're all stoved up going through life. Listen, how you doing today? Man, it's been a bad day. I'm stressed out. This is going on. I'm worried about this. I'm worried about that. Can you just pray for me? Listen, man. Listen, don't waste both of our times. If you ain't going to trust, neither one of us need to pray. Let's just get real. And here's the reason. The reason the prayer isn't getting answered is because God knows you don't trust Him. And if you don't trust Him and He makes it happen, you're probably going to take credit for it yourself. He wants you to really trust Him. So we get all stoved up. We go through life panicked almost. What are we going to do? I don't know what we're going to do. Listen, this has happened. Listen, you know the person you go to, and it's just negative Nelly or negative Ned, and this has gone wrong, and that's gone wrong. And hey, listen, I don't know what I'm going to do about this, and I don't know what I'm going to do about this. And so no matter what, they always have this feeling that they just... they're hanging on a limb and they say they're Christians, but they're not trusting in God. And then look at that child. That's why children just flip around and do whatever they want to do. Just sit there. Why? They have nothing to worry about. Why? Somebody's got them. Listen, child of God, somebody's got you. Amen. You know what He wants you to do? He wants you to really trust. The works of that trust. Realize that even if it doesn't work out your way, He's right. When my child gets old enough to debate me, and they do, immediately, I shut it down. Don't debate me on the way this house is ran, lest you want to run it. Right? That's mean. No, that's reality, because I don't want them to grow up and debate the Lord on the way their life is run, unless they want to run it. Right? Listen, God the Father is so much better Father than I am. On my best day, I have never provided a day for my children. I've never kept them safe. I have to trust in the Father to do all those things. And so this trust test that we go through, this trust test is what will give you peace. Does it mean you're never going to have a problem? No, it just means that you're going to have situations to where God wants you to trust, and you'll see Him deliver you through it. Real trust helps us overcome our fears. Real trust keeps us from worrying. Real trust gives us confidence. Real trust lets us experience peace of mind, or what Paul says, the peace that passeth all understanding. Real trust enables us to experience happiness and joy even in the midst of something that wouldn't make us happy or joyful. Why? Because He's got it. When my children were young and something frightened them, it was not a thing to run behind me. Dad's got it. There's no fear. There's no fear. What is that? That's real trust. Listen, I keep giving these examples because Father God is such a better Father than we could ever be. But why don't we act like His children with that real trust? We wring our hands through life. We walk around and we just pray and hope that this works out the way it's supposed to hope, and we're going to agonize our through it, and I don't know what I'm going to do. You've never known what you're going to do. You thought you did. I thought I did. I had some ideas, but it was never according to my plan. Yes, God, I would like it this way. Then He says, if you would like this, ask me the desire of your heart. You say, oh, well, that works. It works if you trust Him. You say, what do you mean? Let me give you some scripture. I don't want you to take my word for it, okay? I want you to turn, if you would, please, to Psalms chapter 37. We'll get to James in a minute. Psalms 37. He says, delight thyself. Oh, let me give you time. Verse 4 and 5. You want to mark this in your Bible. When you have it, say, I have it. I'm running here. Come on. I'm running. Verse 4 and 5. Listen. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Anybody ever heard that voice? That verse? Now listen, you can't read 4 without 5 because it explains 4. He says, delight thyself also in the Lord, he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. A lot of people stand on that and they preach this prosperity gospel that says, you do this and God's going to bless you this way and bless you this way. The verse isn't over. The thought isn't over. Listen at verse 5. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Glory to God. No, just because you're saying, I'm a child of God, I'm just delighting myself in the Lord, he's not going to just give you the desire of your heart at that. It says, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him. And what the writer is saying, don't forget to trust him and he'll bring it to pass. You know what bring it to pass means? He will let it happen. Let what happen? The desires of your heart. You know what? God wants to give you something. As a father, I will tell you, when I see that that child comes up to me and says, Dad, listen, I got the best room in the world. Supper was great last night. I can't wait for tonight. You're the best provider. You're the best protector. I say, can I get you something? That's what God says to us when we please him like that. When we please him like that, he wants to say, what you want, honey? Why? Because he trusts that we're going to go out and glorify him. And you know what? What we want sometimes is not what's always best for us. But just because you pray it your way doesn't mean it's the best thing to happen for you. As a matter of fact, there's no way that this widow would have ever wanted to get to the state of having no more cakes. But glory to God, when she got to that state, that position, she was a widow that one day went from saying, oh Lord, woe is my soul. 2 sticks and my son and me are going to die. Listen, for many, many days, she went to that wheelbarrow, that meal barrel, whistling, taking the lid off, dipping it out and saying, praise God, another day, another day. It didn't matter how many days she was in need or how many days she got to see God's mighty hand because she trusted God. When you trust God, there will be a peace that comes over you. And he might not answer it your way. Listen, my way would have been praying, God, give me enough for this month. God, let me know. Let me have the security. And God said, you have security for a day because that's all you're promised. Amen. Glory to God, he knows what to do when we don't. He wants us to trust his power to give us the desire of our heart, but this trust is shown to him by our commitment to him. He says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Understand, trust in God is shown to God by our commitment to him, our faithfulness to him. What does that mean? If you're picking up God once or twice a month on Sunday when it works out best for your schedule, if you're picking him up on the way to work just by listening to a radio station, but he can't get you in the Word and he can't get you the prayer, it just works out right, you haven't made a commitment to God. Commit yourself to the Lord. What does that mean? He says, I want you to be all in. When I tell you to go to that brook and ravens are going to feed you, get to getting. When I tell you to go to this widow, she's going to be able to supply and sustain you, go to that widow. And when the widow says, I'm in bad shape, then minister to her and say, fear not. I trust in a God that you need to trust in. You come along with me and you'll see what happens. The reason that we don't get the desires of our heart a lot of times is because God can't trust us with them. God says, okay, if I bless you with it, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with the blessing? Are you going to go and praise me? Or are you going to stop praising me? Are you going to go and depend on me? You're going to stop depending on me? God knows me better than I know myself, right? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. He will direct thy path. Can I tell you something else about trust? Trusting in God will give you clear direction. If you're like me, you have taken the wrong direction many times in life. Anybody here ever taken the wrong direction? Something that you thought was going to happen. How'd that work out for you? Not too good, right? God will never misdirect you. Amen. Trust in the Lord. He will direct thy path. First part of that verse, into that. Trust in the Lord. He will direct thy path. Direction in life. Is anybody listening today that would love to have direction for their life? Anybody? Then what did he say we have to do? Listen, it's simple. What? Tell me again. Again. Then if you're going to trust, you might have to go through a trust test. Are trust tests all bad? No. Trust test is when God reveals he can put meal in the barrel, right? Trust test is when he can. Listen, that lady every day, I get this picture, that lady every day, she got the last couple of drips the day before. And then the next day, guess what? There's enough that came out. The next day, there's enough that came out. For how many days? Many days. Many days. You trust God, you're going to see some amazing things happen. Our real trust in God keeps us from harm. Our real trust in God gives us strength. The psalmist said in Psalms 28:7, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him. I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song I will praise him." We bring up another subject. Do you know the reason that more of us are not praising God? We're not praising God because we're not trusting God. If you trusted God for something you couldn't do and you saw him work, then you would be praising him. But we don't give him the chance to praise him because we don't trust him in step number one. God's willing to do it, wants to do it. Our praise to God will be impacted by our trust in him. Listen to Psalms 5:11. "But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee." I noticed something that I guess is worth mentioning. When you stand and hear people speak on behalf of the Lord that have went through hardships in their life, when they ran out of answers and ran out of everything and they had to trust in the Lord, and you see those people in fellowship with God and walking with God, well, then it's no coincidence. Their trust was learned through that difficult time. But that person is a person you want to be around. Because when the next dilemma comes up, they're referring back to the trust they had before. Those are the people that witness and glorify on behalf of God. So understand something. Don't be afraid of the trust test. That's how God reveals himself to you. Turn to the book of James, if you will, chapter 1. In James chapter 1, understand that God wants you to trust him. Do you know when we fail to trust him so many times? That initial sight of fear, don't we? What are we going to do? Here's panic. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? While you find your place in James 1, can I tell you what the psalmist said in Psalms 112, verse 7? Just listen to these words. He says, "He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting the Lord." What's fixed mean? You go to the bank and you get a variable rate loan. What can the interest rate do? It can change. It can go up. That's negative, sister. It could go up or it could go down. I'm just kidding. But it's variable. It changes. You get a fixed rate, what happens? Listen, listen. Psalms 112, 7. "He shall not be afraid of evil tidings." That means bad news. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. Fixed, trusting in the Lord. Fixed, trusting in the Lord. Is your heart fixed, trusting in the Lord? Or tomorrow, will you fall to pieces again? If your heart's fixed and you really trust, whatever it is, it's fixed and you're not going to be afraid of bad news. Why? Because I serve the God on the mountain. I serve the God in the valley. I serve the one and only great God, Jehovah, the one that supplies all of my needs. Yahweh, he's my God. He's my Father. I'm a child of his. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He loves me. Glory to God. Then what happens with my little mind? What happens with your little mind? Where do we go? Where do we go? We go back to this place where our heart's not fixed with trust. You know what that means, don't it? We're not really trusting him. Real trust is when our heart is fixed. It's thinking outside of our logic. is being able to say, God, how in the world did you have those birds supply Elijah cheesesteaks every day? How'd you bring that stuff to him? God, how in the world did you make that flour start going in that barrel every day? How'd you do it, God? I can't understand it exactly. If you could understand it, you wouldn't have to trust it. You see, trust and faith are tied together. Hebrews 11, without that kind of faith, you can't please God. If you're not pleasing God, then you can't get the desires of your heart because you're not representing Him the way that you need to be representing Him. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 7. I want to close with this. He says, my brethren, count it all a joy when you fall into divers temptations. That means many different kinds of trials. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. That means the testing. He's going to test your faith. How do you test faith? You see if faith trusts. Let patience have her perfect work so that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given unto him. But let him ask how? Ask in what? Tell me again. Let him ask how? Now listen to this, underline this, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. I want you to see this picture in closing here. Elijah didn't go back and say, but God, she's having hard times herself, and you said this widow, she's gathering sticks, you understand the flour situation, she doesn't have enough, there's no way she could sustain me, but God, the birds can't bring me food. The widow didn't say, hey, listen, don't want my son to die. They went, they did, trusting, and he said, the wavering is what messes us up. Let him ask in faith. Understand something, part of the things that God wants to give us, we're not getting from God, because we're not asking trusting. We're asking wavering. Wavering. What does wavering mean? It means that we're not stable. Our heart's not fixed. We trust sometimes. Other times we don't trust. We're worrying now. Other times we're not worrying. No, every situation is not going to be to our liking, but you either trust him or you don't trust him. He says, don't waver. And get this, verse 7, nobody wants to preach on this verse. Let's end with it today and let's preach on it. He says, make no bones about it. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. You want me to come in here and tell you the Lord's ready to give you this or give you that or give you this, and hey, all you have to do is come in here. No, listen, verse 7 says, if you're wavering in your faith, which is the trust part of your faith, don't expect that person to receive, what did he say? Anything from the Lord. The Word of God's strong, isn't it? Uh-oh. That's what I said. That season of my life when I thought I was right with the Lord, but I didn't really trust Him unless it was going my way. And then things kept going the other way. What was the problem? Was it that I didn't initially trust Him for my salvation? No. It's that I wasn't trusting Him on a day-to-day basis. And because I wasn't trusting Him on a day-to-day basis, my faith wasn't shown in my Father. And because my faith wasn't shown in my Father, there was no reason for Him to give me the desires of my heart. Does it make sense? Now let me ask you something. I started with this question, I'll end with it. Your answer might be different. Do you really trust Him? Because we've learned what real trust is. Do you really trust Him? If you've trusted Him before and you've trusted Him by believing on Jesus as your Savior, yes, you trusted Him then. You trusted Him for your salvation. But are you trusting Him? Are you trusting Him on a daily basis? If not, do you know that He has this message for us today? So that we can come to Him and just basically say, I'm sorry. I keep worrying. I keep stressing. I've always got some kind of dilemma going in my life, and my mind is going everywhere. God, I trust you. I trust you. Bear it all to Him this morning. Let Him give you that strength and that peace that comes with somebody that trusts Him. Leave here like that child that you saw this morning that says, I trust my parent. If you've never trusted him initially, today, don't leave here until you put your initial trust in him. What does that mean? That means you realize on your best plan, whether you can be good enough, whether you've went to this class and passed it and they said you're going to heaven, whether you say, hey, listen, I know about God, I believe there is a God. No, listen, trust him. Own that belief. Trust in that belief and accept Jesus as your Savior today. Either way, make sure you trust him. And then when you get through with that prayer, ask God, answer it yourself, does he trust me? Because we didn't have many hands raised for that at the beginning, right? Sadly enough, I look back on my Christian life. The times when I knew I was confident in saying I trusted God, I have to ask myself, did I really trust him? And in those times, I really couldn't be trusted of him. Now, I go back to how we started. You're in a relationship with God. In a good relationship, both people have to trust each other. Father God, I love you. I praise you, and I thank you. Thank you, God, for giving us the opportunity of salvation. Thank you, Lord, for letting us trust you. I pray, God, all over the room this morning, your children, those that have trusted you for salvation, they put their belief in you, Lord. Let them, Lord, be able to see themselves the way you've shown me myself, God. I know I look back and I see those times I didn't trust you. Lord, show us ourselves today. Show us, Lord, whether you trust us. And God, I just pray today that, Lord, relationships are restored, that people are rededicating their life to you, that they're coming to you, Father, and asking for that strength and confessing to you they do trust you. And Lord, let them walk out of here with the peace of a child, knowing that it's completely in your hands. Let them be able to go through that trust test with assurance. And God, for anyone listening today that's never come to you and trusted you initially for salvation, let them trust in Jesus to save them. Let them trust in Jesus to save them. Lord, let them come and confess to you. I just pray, God, if there's anyone here today that's in this condition, Lord, compel them to come. In Jesus' name, amen.